If God were to write something about you concerning you in the Bible, what would you want him to say? There are others who have had things written about them. For instance, in Genesis 6, 8, and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Isaiah 41, 8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendant of Abraham, my friend. Matthew 11, 11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. My favorite would be found in Acts 13, 22. And when he had removed him, and speaking of God removing Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Out of all the things that are written of another, this is my favorite. I would love to be considered a man after God's own heart. As we focus this morning or this day on Mother's Day, what Christian mother wouldn't want to be considered a mother after God's own heart? This morning we are going to look at some qualities I believe would be fitting for a mother after God's own heart. The first thing we would have to say about a mother after God's own heart is, like David, God doesn't expect perfection. Along with David having this written about him, he also had some things that were written about him that weren't so pleasant. David had an affair with Bathsheba, then tried to cover it up by having her husband Uriah come home to lie with her. When he wouldn't, he had him killed. A matter of fact, one of the greatest truths about Noah, Abraham, John the Baptist, and David is that they're all sinners. A mother after God's own heart isn't perfect. What made David a man after God's own heart? One thing that I believe made him a man after God's own heart was his attitude toward God's holiness. David loved God, and it was evident by the things he wrote concerning God. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And I'm going to read all 11 verses. David was an author of Psalms, many Psalms, most of the Psalms, and it really shows a heart for God. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, and they shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. When you read this psalm, it is evident that David was a man who loved God and had a correct understanding of who God was and who God is still today. Turn, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 2. Although David wasn't a mother, he was a parent. And I really like what he did with his son Solomon just before he died. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Just before David died, his last instructions, his last advice to his son was, walk as close to God as you possibly can. We were talking this morning about prayer, and the question was asked, how does God communicate with us? How do we know God? And we know God, and God communicates with us through His Word. The only way that we can possibly walk close to God is to know as much as we possibly can about God's Word. What I really like about this advice was it wasn't full of empty words. So many times people can tend to say the right things and do the wrong things. Do what I say, not as I do. David was a man who spoke, but also walked in accordance to what he spoke. We don't have time to read Psalm 119, but I would like to encourage you to do so when you get a chance. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, but it is another way to see how David's love for God was and how his love for His Word was. And as you read that psalm, what I would like you to notice is how many times David uses the word precepts, the commandments, the testimonies. They all refer to the Word of God. David lived out his life as was commanded by God and advised his son to do the same. A mother after God's own heart would do the same, and there are two women I would like to look at from here and notice some things about them that would characterize them as a mother after God's own heart. The first is Hannah. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah is most likely known by most, if not all of you, and she was the mother of the author of this book. Starting with verse 9, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Now the background to this is that her husband's other wife had many children and she was barren. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. In verse 10, it says that she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And in verse 11, it says that she made a vow. So many in the world today are praying that they may have a child, and many others have prayed for the children that they have. But why are people praying for children, or why did they pray to have children? In the Jewish custom, the favor of God was seen by how many children you had. In other words, the blessing of God was seen through the children He gave you. Psalm 127, 3 through 5, Psalm 127 is probably, if not the most, my most favorite verse or chapter concerning children. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. I don't believe that praying for children is wrong, and I don't believe praying for children as a blessing is wrong either. But praying for children to be a blessing for oneself cannot be the end of your prayer. Hannah made a vow, and her vow was to give him to the Lord all the days of his life, in verse 11. It is the Lord who gives the children, but it is our responsibility to give the children back to Him. Psalm 127, verse 3, it says that children are a heritage from the Lord. The word heritage means possession, but God gave us children to raise them for Him. The responsibility of parents is to raise their children in such a way as to worship and serve the Lord. But before we get too far into that, let us move on to another mother after God's own heart. This mother's name is Jochebed. Who here knows this mother? Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 2. Jochebed. Not really sure if that's how you spell it. I know that's how you spell it. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how I'm going to pronounce it, and that's the best I can do. And I'll probably pronounce it three different ways before we're done using her name. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that it was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidservants walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." You know now who Jochebed is, and Jochebed's son was Moses. Therefore, Moses' mother was Jochebed. I believe that Moses' mother was absolutely a mother of after God's own heart. In verse 10, it says that the child grew and that she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son, or he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." The child grew. I don't know how long Moses' natural mother had Moses, but it was long enough to influence him in the ways of the Lord. We see in verse 11 that he knew he was a Hebrew. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. Moses knew his heritage. He knew that he was a Hebrew. There's more. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked toward the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Moses was a man of great faith. A matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith, or the Faith Chapter. Egypt was the richest and most powerful nation in the world at that time. And because of his upbringing, he chose to trust in the God of his parents than the God or gods of Egypt. He chose to follow after the invisible God than the God of the sun, the moon, the stars, the river, the harvests, animals. His mother taught him concerning the coming Messiah, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked toward the reward. Egypt was the most powerful, the most richest nation to ever exist. He had everything at his fingertips. It would have been like being raised in Bill Gates' house and having him lavish anything on you that you wanted. The word Christ is the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew word Messiah. So when people see that, they may say, well, if Christ came after is in the New Testament, how would he have known the Christ, seeing that he was in the Old Testament days? Well, it's because the word Christ here is the equivalent to the Hebrew word Messiah. And the Jews, the Hebrews, always knew that God was promising a Messiah. And he looked forward to the promised Messiah, the riches, the blessings that were going to come with the Messiah. Like I said, I don't know how long Moses was with his mother. But one thing is clear. However long she had him, she poured as much as she possibly could into him. A mother after God's own heart is a mother who believes God is everything. Doesn't believe God in everything, but believes that God is everything. There are four passages that really explain the direction or aim we are to have in raising our children. We have seen two already, so we'll start with them. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward, or is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them, for they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in their gate. One who shoots a bow or a gun is one who takes specific aim, special aim, careful aim at hitting their mark. Mothers, what are you aiming at? What are you aiming at with such precision? Future moms, are you going to be taking special aim with your children? Moms whose children are grown, are you going to be there like Paul instructed Titus in chapter 2 to come alongside the younger moms and help them in how to be a wife, to be a mother, to love their children? We also saw 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 3. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Someone recently asked me, if I knew that I only had one day left to live, what would I do with it? I said that I would spend it with my wife and my children, really trying to encourage them in the way of the Lord. You know, one of the things that I have thought so many times is that if I die, I go to heaven. But if I die, I'm not with my family. The greatest pleasure, the greatest joys that I have in this life, pertaining to this life, is my family. But nothing would bring me more joy than to see my family continue to raise their family in the Lord, to continue to pour into them your life as your life is consumed with Christ. If I only had one day left, I would spend that day explaining to my wife and children to stay faithful, to stay true to God's word. And if that is true with only one day that you had left, shouldn't it be true with all the days we have left? Psalm 22:6 is our third verse pertaining to raising children. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he'll not depart from it. The question may be asked, what way should they go? And the answer to that question is found in the fourth verse that we will look at concerning raising children. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. How should we raise our children? I mean, okay, so the direction is the Lord, but how do we do it? What is the application? God has taken the people out of Egypt. Moses is the leader. And this is what God says through Moses. Starting with verse 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. The direction that a mother after God's own heart will lead their children is in the ways of the Lord. In the ways of the Lord. So many times we tend to get caught up in the affairs of this life. We tend to neglect the things of the next. Let me say that again. So often we tend to get caught up with the things of this life. We tend to neglect the things of the next. When asked what our definition of prosperity is, we tend to think financial and not faithful, goods and not God. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Do we truly believe that a thorough knowledge and practice of God's word is profitable? I heard a pastor one time ask the question in regards to children choosing not to go to Sunday school or to church. You say, let your children choose whether or not they go to church or if they go to Sunday school. Would you let them choose whether or not to brush their teeth? Would you let them choose whether or not to go to school? I recently read a quote in regards to comparing scholastic education to biblical education. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. A thorough knowledge of the Word of God, the Bible, is worth more than a college education. How about a high school education? Do you think that the Word of God, a thorough knowledge of the Word of God, hard work, diligent study, equipping, is worth more than a high school education? Here's a test to see where we really are. Is it more important that our children memorize the timetable chart or verses? Is it more important that our children read their Bible or do their homework? Is it more important that our children attend after school activities or church activities? Do we spend much time with our kids about the Lord and His church, or about the things that are going to perish when this world does? The man after God's own heart instructed his son to keep the charge of the Lord and to walk in His ways. Hannah and Jochebed were dedicated mothers in raising their children for the Lord, so much so that these two boys became two great men for God. God isn't expecting perfection, just persistence. A mother after God's own heart is a mother with a heart after God. A mother after God's own heart is a mother with a heart after God. Let's pray.